Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. I've often told you that the government could screw up just about anything. They could screw up an ice cream sundae, but we're not worried about ice cream sundaes. Imagine this. Imagine being a government that owns 81 million acres of forest, and you own something that's worth $0.8 billion. And you say, but we can't figure out how not to lose money on that. That's precisely what's going on with the state of Oregon. And one of the guys who's called them to account is forest scientist Dr. Bob Zybeck. You've heard him on the show before. He's president of Northwest Maps Company, a longtime scientist on forest issues, and the author of a brand new book called The Elliott, about the Elliott Forest, an anthology. Dr. Zybeck, welcome back.
Thank you, Lars. Good to be back.
I think I goofed when I said 81 million acres. How big is the Elliott?
81,000 acres. 81,000 common school fund.
And what it should be is worth, if it were managed properly, would it be worth how much?
Conservative estimates are over $1 billion. In the 1990s, it was about $600 to $800 million. So now $1 billion would be a conservative figure.
Okay, because, and by conservative, by managing it right, meaning cut some of the timber, replant some of the timber, and make it an asset for the Common School Fund, which is what state law had provided for the Elliott Forest. What's happening to it rather than that?
Well, the environmentalists filed a lawsuit about 10 years ago, and then the state tried to sell it for pennies on the dollar for $200 million. The court said that was illegal. So they tried to give it to Oregon State University, but they strapped so many carbon credits on it and never-ending HCPs and all kinds of restrictions that Oregon State bowed out in November. So the laws that they had set up, Senate Bill 1546, that were supposed to happen January 1st, have now sunsetted. So the research forest plan, the using it to do research that didn't appear to be very fruitful and to create a de facto wilderness all ended on January 1st.
By the way, you used a term that I know what it means, but an HCP is a habitat conservation program. Is that right?
Well, Habitat Conservation Plan, it's been around for about 30 years. They've spent millions of dollars on the Elliott. It's basically taking away our streams and putting them in the hands of the federal government. It's a situation where taxpayers pay landowners or the state not to harvest land along streams and rivers, supposedly for the benefit of wildlife. But there's been no science. It's basically a government zoning regulation that gives state and private rights straight over to D.C. And the agreement is we don't harvest our own land, and we let our streams and creeks grow up into basically weed patches for the most part.
I do want you to tell my audience about this book you've created called The Elliott, an Anthology. What is in that, and will it be interesting to people like us who are non-forest scientists?
I think so. It's 22 articles that I've written over the last 12 years that focus on spotted owls, the Endangered Species Act, Elliott politics, including what we just skimmed over a little bit. It's got profiles of two important men in forest history, Oregon forest history, Jerry Phillips and Wayne Giese. And I think it would be very interesting to anybody that is concerned about our forests, concerned about the politics, or that knows some of the people involved in these issues.
See, because Dr. Zybeck, I know I talk a lot about forests. My dad was a ranger. I spent a lot of my growing up times in very rural areas of Northern California, Oregon, Washington, and Montana. And I care a lot about this, but it just floors me that you could have a government that's constantly begging for more money. And if you say to them, well, you have this asset over here that could be worth $1 billion. What are you doing with that? And if I'm right, I want to sum it up for people. You've got this very, very valuable asset. And it's valuable for, you know, the environment. I get that. It can serve wildlife and still serve, you know, producing lumber at the same time. In fact, I think the two fit together very nicely. But under the current plan, it doesn't benefit the taxpayers, doesn't benefit, and stop me if I'm wrong about any of this, doesn't benefit the common school fund. It actually costs money to own this piece of property because you have to still manage it. And that by letting it just grow and grow and not harvesting, you're setting it up to burn down someday. Am I wrong in any of those?
No, you're exactly right. And we've got the proof. All of the wildlife habitat, the so-called critical habitat for spotted owls and marbled murrelets and coho that the government's been setting aside the last 30 years has, for the most part, burned up. All of these wildfires that we've seen in Western Oregon have almost all occurred on federal land, have almost all occurred on HCP type of set-asides. There's no evidence that it benefits wildlife at all, and there's a lot of evidence that wildlife doesn't do well in wildfires.
And by the way, Dr. Zybeck, you a long time ago gave me one of my favorite numbers, and every once in a while I screw it up. But for about 35 years, from the mid-1950s to the mid-1980s, the Pacific Northwest essentially had no big forest fires at all. And by big, something north of 10,000 acres. For a third of a century, that's true, right?
Well, from 52 till 87, 35 years, we had one fire in excess of 10,000 acres on the Smith River in 1966. That was it. And now,
by the way, the average, when I look up the averages, say how many average forest acres burn every year, not burn all the way to the ground, but they damage the forest dramatically. 500,000 acres in Oregon, 500,000 acres in Washington is what we expect as the norm every year, right?
It's become the norm because of mismanagement, mostly on our federal land. And it was all predicted ahead of time. It's all coming true. And now we don't even get to salvage the dead trees, so our sawmill and logging and reforestation businesses and the rural communities that these are based in have all suffered dramatically as a result of that.
I'm talking to Dr. Bob Zybeck with Northwest Maps Company. He's a forest scientist of long standing and has deep connections to Oregon State University. Would you tell my audience why, as you do in the Elliott, this new anthology you've got, but you also explain why would it be that a university, a state land-grant university that has a forestry school, be offered 81 or 90,000 acres of Elliott Forest, look at it hard, study it hard, and say, no, not interested? To non-forest scientists, why would a forestry school say no to that kind of gift?
I think it's because the environmentalists that filed the suit against the Elliott, the Portland Audubon, Cascadia Wild, Center for Biological Diversity, have overtaken the so-called management of the research forest away from Oregon State, away from the state of Oregon, and they've created a de facto wilderness that Oregon State finally realized this does not pencil out. It's going to cost us money. It's going to be a huge embarrassment. And so the president, President Murphy, did a really courageous thing in November. After 5 years of wasting millions of dollars and losing hundreds of jobs, rural jobs, she said, we're not going to do this. It doesn't pencil out. And now they're scrambling to figure out how they're going to keep people from working in the Elliott. They're having meetings. They had one yesterday. How do we keep this preserved now that it's not a research forest anymore?
Unbelievable. That is Dr. Bob Zybeck, most recently the author of The Elliott, an anthology. It's an amazing story. And as a taxpayer and a voter, you ought to be very angry about how the state of Oregon, always begging for money, is simply throwing away a billion-dollar asset.